interesting interviews with interesting people from all over the world. It's time for the Brett Davis Show on The Answer San Diego. And now, here's Brett.
Well, good evening, everybody. I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving. Hope it was eventful. I hope everybody got a chance to stuff themselves. I'm laughing because I'm still stuffed. Of course, Todd James in the booth over there having a good time typing away.
My leftover turkey sandwich.
Yeah, I like that. Is that a Pendleton?
I'm not too sure. I don't know what it is.
Very nice.
It's just a flannel.
Yeah. I've got executive producer Larry Delrose here, of course.
Mr. Entertainment's here.
Yes, he is. Sorry. He's pointing at me like I'm in trouble. And then Sarah Morga, who is the president. What was that?
That's a turkey.
And of course, Sarah Morga, the president, the boss.
President. El Presidente. Love it.
And, of course, going to be piping in is my cousin, Marty. We never know who's going to be here. John Marty from Portland, Oregon.
Hey, Marty.
Glad to be here.
He has a voice for radio.
Yeah, he does.
He does.
Not a face, but a voice. And then, of course, we've got a great guest.
We got a fantastic guest. I'm excited. We have an award-winning actor, award-winning author, and a celebrity radio talk show host who has been in Hollywood from almost the beginning of time, and he's still going. Michael Dante.
Wow.
Wow.
Amazing.
I recognize that voice. That's Larry Delrose. And hello to you, Brett.
Hey, Michael, I got to tell you, Michael, he didn't even do that for De Niro. De Niro never got it built up like that. It's what an honor to have you. Of course, the first time I remember seeing you on screen, of course, was in Kid Galahad. But there's so many other things that you've done. I mean, you've done 30 films and 150 television shows. That's amazing. I mean, how does somebody survive that long in any job period?
Yes, it's over 60 years, and it started in 1955. I had come from professional baseball. I was a bonus ball player with the Braves. I originally signed with the Braves, and I had an injury on my shoulder, an operation, and then went to University of Miami of Florida as a drama major in the off season to prepare myself for a good look see to the big leagues with the Washington Senators, and. Along the way, I met Tommy Dorsey, the great band leader, through my roommate, Mickey McDermott. Remember the left-hander with the Red Sox, Yankees, and Washington, and the Cardinals? Mickey McDermott.
Well, yeah,
anyway,
of course.
Mickey and Tommy Dorsey were good friends. Tommy was doing one-nighters up and down the West Coast in Florida. Met Tommy. Tommy saw me rehearsing a play. We had dinner, and he loved what he saw. He said, look, if your arm doesn't come around, and I know you're going to the big leagues and your boyhood dream come true, and everybody talks about you being a great prospect, but if that injury persists, he said, I want to raise a screen test for you out at Hollywood and at the MGM Studios. Because you got it. He said, I watched you on stage rehearsing your play, and you have great presence. You're a handsome guy. You got a great voice and a great presence. And that's what it takes to be a movie star. And he said, if things don't work out or you want to take some time off and take advantage, I'll be doing a home show at the Pan Pacific Auditorium for 2 weeks, and I know everybody at MGM. He said I spent several years on the contract there myself, and I'll arrange a screen test for you, but it's your choice. And he said that's it. Tommy was a no-nonsense guy. He was a great leader of men. Aside from being a band leader, he had great leadership qualities.
And, yeah, he had Sinatra under contract for a while.
Well, I was just going to lead to that. He said, look, I helped you know, a lot of people of my lifetime. I did what I can to help talented people in the music world and so forth. And he said, and singers, you know, they're my specialty. He said, we always had someone, the big band leading with a singer attached to it. And he said that, but there was one individual that did okay. His name was Frank Sinatra. So he said, and I think you got all the attributes to be a movie star, and it's up to you to make a decision. And, you know, think about it, and let's see what happens with your shot at the big league.
So I have a question, real quick question for you. So out of everything that you've just described in your career, what's the one thing you can say stands out above everything else, the thing that you're the most proud of?
Well, the most proud of, I have to say, the playing the title role in Winterhawk. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Winterhawk.
That's his big movie. That's Michael's big movie, Winterhawk.
Yeah. Yeah, you could see it on YouTube free, and your fans could see it. And it's a beautiful picture. If you ask me, name five most beautifully photographed westerns of the western genre, I have to rate Winterhawk anywhere from first to first three. It's beautifully photographed, and we have some great horsemanship in it. It's a wonderful love story, and about the Native American young chief Winterhawk, and I play the title role. So maybe one half of 1% of the actors that ever lived had the opportunity and the good fortune to play a title role. Well, I had the good fortune and the opportunity to play Winterhawk, the title role, and it was highly successful commercially. It made a lot of money and critically acclaimed and still a classic. And you could see it on YouTube. Your fans could see it for free. And I recommend it even to young people, families who love the movie. And I'd have to say that was monumental in my career because of its rarity. And, of course, now it's a classic. And I still get fan mail about it and every day.
Are you known for your westerns or for like your regular character actor stuff?
My salvation in the business and doing an abundance of a variety of a leading man who had the ability to go into character. I could play different characters. I could play the good guy, the bad guy. I could play the lover, like I did in Seven Thieves with Edgar G. Robinson, Rod Steiger, the lover boy Safecracker, and the lover boy in Gigolo and Harlow with Carol Lindley, and play the heavy with two pictures I did with Audie Murphy. I did Apache Rifles and Arizona Raiders. I played a bad guy for the same director and same producer. So versatility was my salvation. I was able to go from one character to another and do a good job. And that's the way I designed my career.
Well, our listeners are waiting to hear about Kid Galahad.
Yeah, I will. But I want to mention that in playing the title role, I purchased the sequel rights to it. And I wrote a sequel to it called Winterhawk's Land. It's a book, and anybody can go on online and MichaelDanteWay.com and see all my books. I've finished five books to date, and I'm just finishing up my sixth book. But in the book, in my autobiography, which I won the Ella Dickey Literacy Award at the in Missouri at the Cherry Blossom Film Festival in Marshfield, Missouri. It's an annual event that brings people who deserve awards from all over the world. And I was I had the good fortune of the first book that I wrote, my autobiography. By the way, it took me 2 years, Brett, to write it. The dedication every day, acclimating myself, disciplining myself to the completing the book. It's 300 plus pages.
Wow.
And has about 100 pictures in it. And I was delighted and flabbergasted when I won the award. And in there is a section that will answer a lot of questions to your audience about my relationship and my role in Kid Galahad with Elvis Presley. He was a joy to work with. He was a gentleman. Everything was yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir. Always on time, always knew his dialogue.
Wow.
And we did all the fight scenes ourselves. There were no stunt people.
Wow.
We kind of punched each other a few times and had a lot of fun. And as a matter of fact, in one series of punches staged in the ring, they do it by numbers. Jab, jab, right hand, and then hook out. So it'd be 1, 2, 3, 4 by the numbers, orchestrated by our technical advisor, who did an excellent job. And Elvis forgot the routine once. He did 1, 2, 3, 4, bing, and threw a fifth punch. And I was and I had boxed in school, and I was just taking the mouthpiece out of my mouth, slipping it out with my tongue, and he threw an extra punch, and bam, he cut my mouth, and I was bleeding. Well, yeah, you think I was the most injured guy in the whole world. He apologized about 10 times. It was Michael right there. He had Luke Stammer when he talked. He said, Michael, I'm so sorry. He said, I'm thinking that's Elvis. I've been hit before, and I've bled before. And it's okay. No problem. I'm all right. But he was such a gentleman, and he was loved by everyone. By the way, his retinue of his, you know, they talked about the gang that he was surrounded by, young men he was with. They were the nicest guys you will ever want to meet in your life, and very intelligent.
You sang in Kid Galahad. Is that the only film you ever sang in?
That's the only film I ever had the opportunity to sing in, and we had a ball. And just recently, I was invited up to Idlewild here in California, which is just an hour's drive. In the mountains from where I live in Rancho Mirage. And they had a celebration.
That's where they shot the movie, yeah.
Yeah, the 60th anniversary of the filming of the movie of Kid Galahad in Idlewild. And I was their honored guest. They ran the film, and we had a Q&A,
That's cool.
question and answers afterwards. And I signed autographs and sold my books and pictures and DVDs and so forth. But what was really sentimental and brought tears to my eyes and wonderful divine guidance memories, I visited the porch where we sang, where I sang with Elvis, and I was the only one that ever, in all his movies, he always was induced by a location or some situation in the movie to sing. But in Kid Galahad, I get him to sing and nudge him on the porch to sing with us the rest of the boxing gang.
We'll be right back with more of Michael Dante on the Brett Davis Show, The Answer San Diego, 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, and now in Los Angeles on 590 AM KTIE. A Minute of Wisdom with Larry Delrose. Be a good friend. One of the best things in life is friends. People who are not relatives, but like relatives. Being a friend takes work and can be trying at times, but it's well worth it. Most people don't know how to be a good friend. You shouldn't be jealous, and you shouldn't be too competitive with each other. You should just like to be with each other. And when you're together, you just feel happy. Hopefully, you laugh a lot, and you stimulate each other. Being a good friend also takes time. You have to put your friend ahead of your spouse or even your kids sometimes. Lots of people don't know how to balance the delicate situation. They say most people are lucky if they have one good friend in their entire life. And I'm Larry Delrose.
After starting college at 11, receiving a bachelor's at 15, and finishing law school at 19, personal injury attorney King Amanpour has represented thousands of San Diegans and recovered millions for victims of car and motorcycle accidents since 1996. If you're in need of a personal injury attorney, there's only one, Attorney King. 619-333-3333. That's 619-333-3333. Or attorneyking.com. That's attorneyking.com.
Have you ever been told, it's just old age? If it hurts, don't do it. Why don't you just try these pain medications? If the answer to any of these is yes, we can help you. Here at Advanced Physical Therapy and Wellness, we specialize in one-on-one, hands-on manual therapy, where our doctors of physical therapy spend the entire hour with the patient. Because you deserve it. If you are ready to find freedom from imaging, surgery, pain medications, and injections, go to advancedptwellness.com, where you can find free ebooks on how you may be able to solve your own back, shoulder, knees, or hip pain. Or just Google Advanced PT Wellness.
Welcome back to the Brett Davis Show. We're here, of course, with Michael Dante, who's, I'll tell you what, we get guests that are just off the charts. I mean, I don't even know how to describe a career like this. What do you think, Sarah?
He's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Hi, Michael.
Hi, Larry. Larry, I love what you said about friendship, and I agree. If you can have a few friends in a lifetime and so forth, and our relationship has been one of being friendly over the years, and with lots of respect and in love, and when you were living here. And Larry, I miss you. I miss your presence and your attitude. You always had a very positive attitude, and that always impressed me. And we always had a nice, warm relationship. And I'm sorry you're not living in Rancho Mirage anymore, but I'm sure you have friends, you've acquired friends in San Diego, the likes of Brett Davis and Dodd, your sound man, I'm sure.
Yep,
so
yep.
Life goes on.
Yeah, that's very kind of you.
I always cherish our relationship.
I do, too, and it's very kind of you. And I got perfect friends down here, too, and I miss all the guys there. I'm coming down there to do a few shows, so I'll run into you. So we heard that you're the only guy left in the whole United States that worked with Elvis. Are you the only one left?
Yeah, so back there on that movie, yeah. And I want to share this. It was a very sensitive moment. My wife and I were in tears. I of course, initiated it when I recall that 60 years ago, we sang on that porch, and that location is still there. The porch is still there where we sang, and Elvis and I had our little duet in singing, and developed a great relationship in the movie, and we had a wonderful time singing. We all knew, learned the lyrics, and we thoroughly enjoyed singing. We really enjoyed the number. It was no, one of those voiceovers where they taped in the music and you mouthed it. We sang. We were singing and had a beautiful time. Elvis was really impressed. He thought we had so much enthusiasm and enjoyed the scene and singing. So that brought tears to my eyes because they're all gone. I'm the last of the cast, and it breaks my heart to recall that how wonderful it was working on the film and with the wonderful people. And Elvis and I developed a nice relationship. He was a good athlete. We threw the between scenes. We threw the football, and his gang, and all of us, the young men that were there, were either a relative or people that he grew up with. So they were.
Was that the
entourage?
Was that called the Memphis Mafia?
Yeah, the Memphis Mafia.
Yeah, and they were. They were all gentlemen, and I had some wonderful conversations with them. And Red West was very well educated and a good football player for Memphis University. And so I kept in touch with them over the years and so forth. And I'll share there's a quick stories in them in the book. There's some nice short anecdotes in my autobiography, From Hollywood to Michael Dante Way.
I'm going to get that book, and I can't wait to read. You said you've done five.
You can only order through me if you want an autograph.
Well, of course.
From Amazon, people order it, and they're not autographed. And they say, gee, well, I bought it, and it's not autographed. Well, you can only buy it through me and my website, MichaelDanteWay.com. You'll see all of my books there and so forth.
That's
and
neat.
And I'll be happy to accommodate you, Brett and Todd, or any of your cohorts. But
I have a quick question. Michael, are you there? Hello? Did we lose him?
No, he's here.
Oh, there. Michael, I have a quick question about John Wayne. What can you tell us about John Wayne?
Well, I did 3 years in a row. His favorite charity was child abuse. Winter Hawk was being released at the time, and his wife, Pilar, at the time, called me, and they had a women's club, a charity, and I had played in celebrity tennis tournaments down in Newport Beach, and with Pilar and members of John Wayne's family. Patrick Wayne and his daughters were avid tennis fans and players. And Mrs. Wayne called me to do a charity, John Wayne's favorite charity, in an afternoon luncheon in Newport Beach. And they loved Winter Hawk, and she said, it's just my favorite picture in the whole world, and we love what you did, and would you do a charity with John Wayne and Patrick Wayne? What we'd like you to do is you and Patrick would be auctioneers, and the Duke, so to speak, would introduce you to the audience. And it was only women, and it was the only male members there at that luncheon was the owner of the restaurant, John Wayne, Patrick Wayne, and myself. And the rest were all women who gathered jewelry and all kinds of goodies to auction off to raise money for Duke's favorite charity, child abuse. Well, Patrick and I, and then, of course, my introduction to Duke, and the first time I had met him, I had never met him before, and we shook hands, and I had big hands, and his hands, he had big paws, and he reached out his hands, and he looked straight into my eyes, and he said, Michael, all I want to be is your friend. Let me be your friend. I said, yes, Mr. Wayne. I want to be your friend as well. He said, call me Duke. And I said, yes, Mr. Wayne. And then I just didn't think at the time I had earned the right to call him Duke. And, of course, shortly thereafter, I felt right at home and had a great relationship with him. And he then saw Winterhawk later, and he said, Michael, I have a great script I want to do, and we're going to do it. And I've got to take a trip to Hartford. I'll be back in about maybe a week to 10 days, and I'll be in touch. Well, he went to Hartford, and, of course, he wrote me a beautiful note. I had some situation to take care of. But at Hartford, they told him he had a year to live.
Oh,
so we never got a chance to
do that movie.
He wanted me to do with him.
One quick thing, because I noticed the most important thing you're doing right now as you're 91 years old is you're rebooting all the 200 radio interviews that you did. You're streaming them once a week, and people can listen to it on TeamDanteRadioShows.com. 200 of the biggest stars in the world. Tell us about that before we let you go.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's just I have right now we have on the show Tommy Lasorda,
wow,
and Tony Curtis and Glenn Campbell, Debbie Reynolds, the like of. I mean, it's just incredible what I was able to accomplish over the years, from A to Z, from Maude Adams, Danny Aiello, to Anna Marie Alberghetti, to Ephraim Zimbalist, A to Z, over 200 shows, and of the 200 shows, there are about 45 are Hall of Famers from the sports world, baseball, and, tennis, golf, the likes of Rod Laver, basketball, John Havlicek, just incredible singers like Keeley Smith, Jack Jones, and Rod Steiger, Connie Stevens, and it just goes on and on.
I was with you when you interviewed Ed Cookie Burns. I sat with Ed that day. You know, his son, yes, his son is an anchor down here on the news every night.
I've seen him, and he
Logan Burns.
And I watched him grow up. I remember when he was just a youngster when I met him with Cookie. Cookie was so proud of him, and when he was going to law school at the time, going to college, but then he ventured into television, and he's doing a hell of a job. And
he's really good. He's really good newscaster.
He's been there forever, so I'm so happy, and his dad would be so proud today because, unfortunately, Cookie is not with us. He left us too soon.
Yeah.
What final thing would you say that you'd want people to know about your career? And we got like about 2 minutes if you can wrap that up.
Oh, before the song was written, I did it my way.
Yeah.
Which was a great hit, and Frank Sinatra did Justice to, which was so great. I designed my career. I turned away from a lot of money to do series like The Untouchables. I was supposed to do. I had a contract to do The Untouchables. I chose a 5-picture deal at 20th Century Fox. By the way, I was one of the only male actors that had been on the contract to 3 major studios, MGM, Warner Brothers, and 20th Century Fox. And I chose to an art form, to treat my work as an art form. In doing so, I was able to invent and create and go in different directions, like radio host talk shows. So I had a very successful, outstanding career in radio. And I had, because of my approach to my work and my life, choosing my work as and treating my work as an art form, I was able to venture into writing, which a talent I didn't realize I had. But I accomplished and have written 5 books already. You can see that on my my website, MichaelDanteWay.com. Go on my you and your fans could go on MichaelDanteWay.com and see all the awards, my credits, my books.
Golden Boot Award.
The movies and DVDs you can purchase and so forth. And, yeah, the Golden Boot and the Silver Spur Award. And so many wonderful awards that I'm so proud of.
Also, I have to say, probably one of the nicest guys we've ever talked to. And we look forward to meeting you in person, maybe coming down. Maybe we can meet sometime and pick up a couple books. And
yeah, and by the way, Michael Dante Way is a street in Rancho Mirage, right?
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I would love to. I've been invited down to the Comic-Con. It would be wonderful. To share in some way, we could do a show there.
Were you invited to Comic-Con because you were on Star Trek?
Yeah, you were on Star Trek. That's right.
Shows called Friday's Child. That's in my autobiography too. By the way, the autobiography for Michael Dante Way, Hollywood for Michael Dante Way, and that was one of the great moments of my life when I was. The street was named after me in my hometown in Stamford, Connecticut, and it's called Michael Dante Way. It's
nice.
Something I'm so proud of, and never thinking that one day they would name a street after me in my hometown. So I have accomplished a great deal. Thank you for the divine guidance and my approach to my life and my work, and treated my life and my work like an art form. And in doing so, it opened the doors in so many directions. And versatility was something that I wanted to do, and the reputation I wanted. I was a leading man who had the ability to go into character. I could do anything with accents, play the good guy, the bad guy, play the lover.
Thank you so much, Michael. You did a phenomenal job. I look forward to meeting you in person and coming down to the desert. Thanks for being on my show.
Thanks, Michael. See you soon.
Thank you, Larry and Brett and Todd. God bless you and stay well, and God bless America.
God bless America.
Yeah, God bless America.
We have to take that break. We'll be right back on the Brett Davis Show on The Answer, Southern California, FM 96.1 North County, AM 1170 San Diego, and KTIE. AM 590, the Inland Empire and Los Angeles.
After starting college at 11, receiving a bachelor's at 15, and finishing law school at 19, personal injury attorney King Amanpour has represented thousands of San Diegans and recovered millions for victims of car and motorcycle accidents since 1996. If you're in need of a personal injury attorney, there's only one, Attorney King. 619-333-3333. That's 619-333-3333 or attorneyking.com. That's attorneyking.com.
Want to get him in a room. Welcome back to the Brett Davis Show here at, of course, The Answer San Diego and Inland Empire in Los Angeles.
This is going to be our little Thanksgiving special segment for our listeners. It's called Get to Know Brett a Little Bit More.
Only one time, right? We're not going to do this like all the time.
No, just a little special for the listeners. They got to know you a little bit more. So, Brett, you're a media mogul. That's what they call you around San Diego now. So,
well, that's what you call me.
Well, tell us first. We're going to go through a few things that you're doing in your life. So, first of all, you do the radio show. Uh-huh. And you started it how long ago?
10 years ago.
10 years ago?
Yeah. A decade. Hard to believe.
You're good on the radio. You got a great voice.
Well, I have a good team. And because you have a good team and you have good people around you, I mean, Todd James has been phenomenal for the show. As you know, he's made it unique.
Todd is great.
Of course, Sarah has been there from the very beginning as well, from the very, very beginning. She got more applause than everybody else.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And by the way, happy belated birthday. She got like a couple hundred happy birthday wishes on her birthday.
That
She's
was
very
really
popular.
Nice. That was really nice.
And of course,
nice.
You're the new blood
happy
here.
Happy birthday!
So, Todd, you've been working with this guy for a while. You got a question for him. I have a question.
Be careful
all
what you ask there.
You've had on in the 10 years of doing this, interviewing people. Who was your favorite interview of all time?
Wow, that's a good one.
Good one.
Only pick one.
I've had a lot, and there's a lot of stories, and it's not usually sometimes the famous people, did you would think?
True.
The one that really touched my heart was the gentleman that did the Bono imitation.
Oh, Pavel.
Pavel.
Yeah.
Do you know why?
Because
he was emotional. Literally stripped emotionally, and that was as real as it gets.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt whatever he was going through, I felt like he transported this there.
He broke down.
Well, he broke down, but the story of his dad, and I think the fact that we were able to get into his soul with whatever it is, that maybe it was the timing or the wording, I don't know. But that was the one that stands out in my mind, because that was as raw and real as it gets. And I like that. That's what we try to do with all of our media. That probably surprised you.
Yeah. No, I thought it was great.
That was a great show. You also had the young girl who did the poems.
Yeah, that was a really good show.
That was an emotional show.
She's going to be doing the teacher event, isn't it? She's a contortionist.
Yeah.
She's doing a ballet contortion dance.
All right, so let's talk about that. So Brett leaves the radio show, which he does once a week, and he's expanded now into Los Angeles. I think we've got about 10 million population that have a chance to listen to him. And then he goes and he does events. Tell him about your upcoming event that you and Sarah are doing.
Well, originally when we started in radio, we were always more inspired by the everyday hero. And so, we always thought of those people that made the difference, right?
Yeah, we were geared to honoring the everyday heroes. We honored, you know, military warriors, police officers, teachers, I mean, nurses, you know. We honored a lot of people.
Well, the thing is that we need to continue to honor more. But with that being said, the one thing that we all can relate to from the very beginning is we've all had that one teacher that's made a difference in our lives. We may not like them at the moment for whatever the reason, because they were tough on us. But those are usually the ones you learn the most from.
Yeah.
So we decided to go in that direction.
Well, pre-pandemic, we had a big event over at the Cosmopolitan. It was a teachers' military warrior event, and we honored a lot of people.
We did teachers and the military
yeah,
together.
But after, in 2020, we decided that, well, Brett decided. He said that he wanted to honor teachers and have a big event to honor them. So we created the San Diego Teachers Academia Awards. And we are actually having that awards gala on December 9th, Friday.
That's Sequan.
Mm-hmm. That's Sequan from 611.
One of our sponsors.
If you're interested, give us a call at 619-734-1507, and we can get you tickets.
That's a shameless plug for my interview.
So that's going to have entertainment that night? Well, dancing and honoring all the... Oh, you got some other people besides teachers you're honoring. Tell them who else.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say the entertainment part. I've always loved music, and I've always loved entertainment, because I think it's the one thing that brings us all together. I think you feel the same way.
Yeah, definitely.
So when I saw your show, it just made more sense to incorporate that, because you don't have to get on a plane. You don't have to get in your car, I mean, unless you're going to watch a concert or watch somebody perform. And with all the challenges that had been going on, I thought, why not bring all of that together and all of our indifferences and find a way to really celebrate the educators and teachers. And so your event was very inspiring, of course, with Alan Kensel, who's one of the top real estate agents in Coronado, by the way. And from there, we decided that, you know, why don't we dissect this a little bit more? And we decided that schools, just like radio shows or anything else, there's unsung heroes. You know, like mm-hmm. Todd James is one of my heroes.
Yes.
He really is.
I agree.
Only because I have jealousy, wears better Pendletons than I do. But that being said, is the radio show or a school cannot be run by just teachers. You need to have a janitor, which is what we're going to be honoring this year, custodian. A team of them. Because I think I called you and I said, hey, I realize that I'm older than I remember, because in my day there was only one janitor at the school. Now they got a team of janitors. I didn't know that. And so now we have to honor a team of janitors from going from one.
I think it depends on what school, Brett.
No, it'd have to be a pretty small school.
We have a few nominations, so we have to go through that and pick through it. But we also have a crew of cafeteria workers.
Yeah.
Going to honor them too.
You know,
nice.
And yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something, not bragging, but our cafeteria and my elementary school in the day, those ladies could cook.
Yeah.
It wasn't all processed stuff. I mean, it was like they made the best burritos. They made
food.
The best cheeseburgers. I mean, everything they did was always just fresh, and everything was good. And I don't know how it is now. I'm sure it's nothing. I hear complaints, but you still have to feed a school, you know, and there's a lot going on with that.
Absolutely.
Some of those kids don't get a meal
right.
because of the struggles that are going on. And that meal at school, whether it's breakfast and lunch, is really what gets them through the day. Yeah. So that's an important aspect of that, of the school.
Okay, so you got the radio show going, you got the events going, and you'll have plenty more of those coming, probably doing 2 or 3 a year. And then you go to Coronado, your studio down there, and you do podcasts day after day after day, right?
Well, I don't know about that. Sarah would probably agree with you. I get to kind of like wave at everybody and say a few things, and she's the one kind of like directing the whole thing. But
well, we have a network of hosts, you know.
And growing. It's going to be growing. Between this end of this year and next year, we're going to be doing more varieties of shows.
Well, they all have their own podcast shows, and we, you know, of course, we produce them. And it's been interesting. It's really amazing what Brett created, you know, with IQ Podcast, because IQ Podcast is a network. It's a media network. And
it's still in its infant stages.
It is. But you know, the possibilities that we have with IQ Podcast is immense. And we also, you know, what's funny is after we started the IQ Podcast media, I guess, network, we also started the magazine. And Brett looked at me, I think it was 6 months after starting the podcast. He says, Sarah, we need to add a magazine component to this. And I looked at him and I said, have you ever done a magazine? And he looked at me and says, nope. I said, well, I've never done a magazine. He says, yeah, but you're going to learn.
Well, here's the thing. And you know this because you and I are very similar. We have a lot of similarities. There's a lot of some differences. You dress better than I do, but we have a lot of similarities. And the one thing I can tell you I'm really, really good at is I have an uncanny eye for talent in every area, whether it's music, whether it's somebody that's gifted in the booth. I'm able to see the differences and the uniquenesses of individuals. I don't know what it is, and everybody can say, well, everybody has that. I don't agree. I think that's one of my specialties. I come from team sports, and I realize that in order to win championships, you don't win a champion. And we won championships in high school, by the way. We were phenomenal. We dominated, but we didn't do it by ourselves. We did it as a team. And I've taken that concept of being an athlete into business, and I realized the same thing. Hey, I can't be the shortstop, you know, or I can't be the quarterback, but you know what? I can be, you know, really good at this position. But in order for us to be a winning team, you need key people in those places. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to do business that way and everybody gets a piece of the pie and together we go across the finish line, we win, you know, I've always considered business to be that way. I never wanted to be the guy or just her and I by ourselves, Sarah, myself, just the two of us, because we really want to have that journey with a group of people that really get what we're trying to do and we care about them. Because it makes it more enjoyable.
More fun, more exciting. If it's just the two of you, you just kind of look at each other, high-five each other, and like, yeah, we did it. But when you have a group of people with you, you know, and you share the excitement of
success.
Of success, right. It's amazing feeling.
But you know, the thing about our success is interesting. What I didn't really realize until we just answered that question, which is what he was trying to do, by the way. He's a genius, so I'm going to start calling him genius. Genius. So, Mr. Entertainment, he's like, no, it's Mr. Entertainment. You can call me. Don't call me genius. But what the enjoyment we get, I mean, don't get me wrong, we have to pay the bills, but the enjoyment we really get out of this is not only helping other people, but working with other people and honoring people, giving them some dignity and saying, you know what, what you did is phenomenal. You know, no, it's not. I didn't do that great about it. Yes, you did. People sometimes have a challenging time accepting thanks just for no reason. It's just the right thing to do, and I think we got to get back to that. I'd love to see somebody come in that's completely, absolutely abstract differently than what I am or what any of us are, that are doing great things and are not really doing it because they want to be honored, but it inspires other people to hear those stories.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something will resonate with them to do something to help people too, not just think about themselves and think about how they can give back and make, you know, we need to get back to being,
well, you know, Larry's like that. Larry, I mean, you.
Well, that's why he's here, because we all are on the same. We kind of get that universal calling of that.
Same thing. He picked me like he picks a talent. So you're on the radar screen.
Well, you had to say yes.
You're on the radar screen to go national, yeah. I think. And I think it's because of the theme that you have picked since the beginning of your career, and that's to take the high road and to positive, uplifting interviews instead of all the crap that's on other TV and radio stations. What do you think? That's
I agree.
It, right? Yeah?
Yeah. We've had this discussion because, you know, sometimes we know there's times where you do a really good show and there's times where you do a subpar show. But I got to tell you, our shows are always a little different and a little better in different ways. And going back to your question, we need more than right now. And I sound like a broken record. For anybody who remembers what a record is, we need to get back to just doing great things like the things Todd James is doing with his blanket drive and the socks. By the way, we have a few things for you today.
Oh, and we'll have much more.
And we'll have much more for you coming up before the first, right?
Sir?
Is that the first, my cutoff time?
Yeah, the first. I'm going to say the first for you. Really, it's the second.
So what is that, Todd, again? Tell listeners.
So it's the 1904 blanket drive. This is our fourth annual one. It's going to – we started collecting donations already, and it's new or slightly used socks, blankets, and sweatshirts. The event is December 4th at Cesar Chavez Park, not Chicano Park, Cesar Chavez Park in Barrio Logan. We're going to start meeting up at 10 a.m., there's actually going to be DJs there, graffiti artists doing an exhibit. We're going to do the blanket ride around noon where we go out and hand out all the blankets to the less fortunate that are sleeping out on the street. They're on Imperial Avenue, Harbor Drive, Fifth Avenue, all those areas that get pretty cold in the evening. And all the surplus that we have, which it's awesome now that we've gotten to the point where we have surplus, that's going to go to Father Joe's.
Good. So, I mean, it's, you know, this is our first time being involved. So, I mean, we'll make some type of impact, but the goal is every year to get a little better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing is, first of all, it started with just me saying, hey, we've got a group of 12 guys. Let's do something good for the community.
There you go.
We have a group of people. It lends itself to that. So 4 years ago, we started it, and we didn't know what we were doing. And we go, oh, yeah, let's go hand out blankets at nighttime downtown. So now it's become, we do it during the day so that kids can be a part of it, because it's actually a great opportunity for parents to show the kids what the true meaning of Christmas is.
That's right.
Giving.
Well, I appreciate what you do. And I feel like when we all are together doing our show, I feel like we really get stuff done that really matter. I mean, maybe it's just some selfish idea because it's our show, but I feel like we really do things that make people – we really try to make people feel better, and we try to help in some way. I really believe that. We've used the show as a vehicle to do that, and that's really what it is. It's a vehicle, because if we weren't doing radio, we'd still be doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really, and the podcasts are kind of the same theme too, right?
Well, yes and no, because we're doing other shows for other people, but it seems to be that you're right, because a lot of the people that are doing the podcast – are out there doing stuff too, like Jeff Weller, of course, with the Harbor Police, who's a phenomenal guy and does a lot so much for the community that it's just endless that he does, and nobody really hears what he does because he does so much.
President of the Harbor Police Foundation.
Yeah.
Yep. What he did with Perkins Elementary School is phenomenal.
He's made that impact, as you know. Then we got somebody like Brad Weber, who's, you know, has 35 publications in San Diego, and you know, again, does I think they just did something recently with the Harbor Police with fishing, taking fishes, kids fishing for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Was that with a cop?
Not with a cop, but I mean, they were there. The Harbor Police was there, but yeah, they. I forget the name.
Like about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, Fish for Life.
Fish
That's
for
what
life.
It's called. It's fishforlife.com. So.
Hey, Larry, empty your pockets.
So before we leave, let's give your audience some of your Thanksgiving wisdom, Brett. I know you like to pump people up and give them good wisdom. What do you got?
I thought you were going to tell me what I want to eat. I mean, that's the next president of the United States right there. So, I would just say give thanks for even a lot of times, we were at church on Sunday, mm-hmm. and one thing we heard is, one thing that made sense to me was that worry and faith. You got to choose between the two of them. You can't just say, you can't believe in both of them. You got to have either. I mean, you can't, how did he say it?
He said, if you're grateful, you can't worry. I thought that was great.
Well, faith is important too, yeah. because when you have a faith of something, of God, of a higher being, you give your fears, even if you don't think you're going to make it.
You give it to God.
You give it to God.
Yeah.
And that's faith.
Well, Brett comes home from church and he looks at me because, you know, I didn't get to go because I wasn't feeling well. And he looked at me. He says, Sarah, he says, you can't have faith and worry the way you do. And I looked at him. I said, what yeah. are you talking about? I do worry, but I have a lot of faith.
And then
and
she's
he says,
like,
no, right. you have to pick. And I'm like, you know.
And she's like, give me Pastor Eric's number. I want to call him and talk to him about this.
I said, well, let me think about that, you know. And I did. I kind of just kind of let everything go. And I said, you know what? Yeah, I do have a lot of worries. I do have a lot of things on my mind. But I have to give it to God. And I did.
So the man in the booth is never lost for words. What about your Thanksgiving wisdom, Todd?
Well, you know, Brett's a pretty wise man, and he said it pretty well there. But I think it is important. The most important thing is to be grateful. Coach Wooden used to say, but I don't know who the exact person that came up with the quote is, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you react.
Right? Yeah, I like that.
So
yeah.
Stay positive. Be a positive person for the people around you. The other quote that I like was from a young man who used to wrestle at Lincoln High School, Willie Jones Jr.
Oh, yeah.
He always said, give me a place to stand and I'll change the world around me.
We'll love
so
it.
Those two quotes, that's what I'm going to leave the listeners with.
Awesome.
I have a quote that I wrote. Never give up what you love to be in love. It's very deep. You have to figure that part out.
It's different. I don't know
if that goes. About that, Sarah.
It's different. It's different for each, and it's different for each person.
Exactly.
It's different for each person. Never give up what you love to be in love.
He said that to me when we first met.
Yeah.
Never give up who you are.
Yeah.
What was your? What you?
No, you're right.
I'm taking your stick away. Go ahead and ask her the question.
No, I'm.
Yeah,
good.
Come on,
I'm
Sarah.
Good.
What's your final for the listeners?
Oh, you know, I just be thankful, you know, to the military, be yeah. thankful to the veterans. You know, that's one thing when you're thinking about being grateful. I'm so grateful to our military because we would not have what we have without them, you know.
Very true. Wow.
Well, we will be back next Saturday night. Don't be depressed, folks. The best is yet to come for you. We'll be on the Brett Davis Show at 11 p.m. on The Answer, 96.1 FM, 1170 AM, KTIE, Los Angeles. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Happy Thanksgiving, Bruce. Yippee-ki-yay.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks for listening to the Brett Davis Show on The Answer San Diego. Join us next Saturday at 11 p.m. for more interesting interviews with more interesting people. For more info on Brett, go to IQpodcasts.com. That's IQpodcasts.com. This has been the Brett Davis Show on The Answer San Diego.